From the front line.
It's not going to work, man.
From the tailgate. Representing KGYR and its stakeholders. We are the Forum for the Fans. The Bleed Blue Show. Flying solo, here's your host, Steve.
Yeah, we're on the phone for the Fans of Blue Blue Show, the Ring Podcast with Ranger Proud here. Talking hockey, blue shirts, rest of the NHL, rest of the show, towards the end of the show. BleedBlueShow.com is our website. Audio archive episodes for the Bleed Blue Show, of course, on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, iHeartRadio, all that good stuff. And, of course, stream all live content or archive content from the Bleed Blue Show's website, bleedblueshow.com/podcast. So the blue shirts are coming over from the last week. I was really pessimistic going into the last couple of games that we played technically on the road in Philadelphia, in Washington, D.C., versus the Flyers, versus the Capitals. And I got to say, man, the play in Philadelphia was inspiring. I definitely loved what I saw. I loved the energy. Pretty much throughout the entire game. Some of it was a little bit of lapses, but the game in Philadelphia I didn't think it should have went into overtime, but the fact that we went past the Flyers in the shootout what was really encouraging. And I think the fact that Brendan Smith got that goal, the go-ahead goal, before the Flyers tied it up, the fact that he got that in and did not blow it, that was a good sign in itself. Rangers survived in Philadelphia, didn't go to D.C. over the weekend. And then, you know, I thought that was a fantastic game by the Blue Shirts, from start to finish. And even getting an empty net goal by Mika Zibanejad, they sealed it off, and then hopefully they could get him going as far as scoring. I know he netted one at half the ice. But I thought, a lot of guys played well. Lafreniere played well. They all did. When we talked about this on the last episode with Cackle and Lafreniere, but we got to talk about Colin Blackwell and Kevin Rooney. These guys on these third and fourth lines are actually producing. But then all that came to a halt with this Artemi Panarin story. Now, I'm going to let RP or let the Ranger fans tell me what happened, because let me explain to y'all how I am. This is Steve speaking, Steve on the Bleed Blue Show. See, when we do these shows, like when Ranger Proud comes on here and these fans come on, we discuss what happens on the ice. We talk about what happens in the game of action, game of play. When this stuff happens off the ice, I kind of don't want to jump into that, because I'm the type of person, if I did not see it, if I was not bear witness to it, I can't believe everything that I have not seen. And this Artemi Panarin story, I guess what happened back in 2011, I'm only getting piecemeal versions of the story, so I'll let RP explain it or whatever. I don't know what happened, and I don't think a lot of people do know what happened. So I'm kind of staying off of this, but however this does affect the Rangers is if he is going to take a time of absence starting with Wednesday's game versus the Flyers, this definitely affects us on the ice. Now, that's not to say whatever happened 10 years ago is not relevant. I'm not saying that, but I can't vouch for anything. I do not have a clue on what happened, because I wasn't there, you wasn't there. But if fans want to have that discussion, because it's been all over Twitter, it's been all over Instagram, it's all over Facebook, we can have the discussion, because it affects our team in the play, and if the team's going to rally behind on Artemi Panarin, because I saw the quotes from Dave Quinn on that. Ranger Proud, of course, on Twitter and Facebook, Forever Blue Shirts and Pop Sports Media, RP. What's going on, man? I mean, we had a good week with some good road wins, but Artemi Panarin story, I mean, if you want to lead off with that, please, by all means, sir. What's up, bro? How's everything?
Hey, Steve, how's everything going? Yeah,
I'm good,
man. The Panarin story was a kick in the gut yesterday morning. Just a quick recap, Panarin's former coach in the KHL and someone who supports Vladimir Putin very highly came out and said that, I think it was in 2011, Panarin had another physical altercation story, but a hit or an 18-year-old female. And there are, of course, rumors there was a police report. There wasn't a police report. There were rumors Panarin paid this person off and didn't pay it off. And as the day progressed yesterday, more and more news came up, pro and con. The Rangers were very quick to support Panarin and support his leave of absence and, you know, back him and you know, as that team leader as he is, to say that they feel that this is more of a propaganda or political stunt by the person in Russia as opposed to anything else. But Panarin felt the need to take the time off, which, Steve, probably added a little bit more fuel to the fire because, of course, many in Rangers Twitter were saying, well, if it isn't true and it's all BS and propaganda, then why would you take a leave of absence? But Panarin has his reasons. It's reasons that the team supported. So we'll just go with that. But it is a, how do I want to say it, it's another black cloud over a very, very unusual season of ups and downs for the Blue Shirts. But of all the things that had happened, not having him in the lineup because of something other than an injury is really a hard pill to swallow. He's just the heartbeat of that hockey team. You could see the way Strom and Kreider and all his teammates talked about him. So I don't like to speculate, as you said, Steve, but I also don't like to say, oh, that could have never happened, because we have seen with many, many sports figures and other high-profile athletes that sometimes unfortunate stories like this are true. And I'm not saying in any extent that it is. Just when I was doing my writings and research and all, try to keep a little bit of an open mind, because that's the time, as we could see with some of the D'Angelo bullcrap that happened, and not everything seems to be so as they appear. So that in a nutshell is what's going on. Really quick, Steve, today former teammates of Panarin from that KHL team said they knew nothing about the altercation. They had heard nothing about the altercation, and they would have because they were all so tight on that club. A lot of it is leading to this just being some sort of political retribution from what Panarin said about this person last month on Instagram. So it's a wait and see, but hopefully it won't be too long. But every indication, guys, is he's not playing the next three games.
Okay. So walk me through this, RP. Good dialogue, good perspective. So the next three games, and I hate to make it sound like that, RP, because, I mean, we are Rangers fans first. I'm a Rangers fan, you're a Rangers fan, and I don't want to make it sound like we're minimizing what could or what might had happened. I'm just saying I can't vouch for it. I had no idea before even last week that it even existed. And when it comes to stories, and this is right up your wheelhouse because you write articles, you give opinion pieces, but a lot of it is based on facts. I'm just speaking for me. If I did not see it, or if I did not hear of it, I try not to speak on it unless it's overwhelmingly right in my face, like video evidence. So you know what I'm saying? So I can form an opinion.
Absolutely.
Like, okay, that's him. I can identify him. That's that person, he or she, whatever, you know, go on from there. But in this particular situation, this happened on the other side of the world, allegedly.
Right.
You got hearsay, she say. There's too many moving pieces, too many. Because the funny thing, RP, let me say this real quick, and I'll go back to that point and I'll get back to you. Okay, you said the next three games. I mean, it doesn't even get any easier. We're still in February, right?
That is my speculation, by the way, just based on what I've read, Steve. It's definitely tomorrow, but everyone that I've read is pretty much they don't see him playing in the next three games because the games are so close together based on the schedule. And like you said, there are no easy games, so it hurts the Rangers the way I know where you're going. It sucks. it does.
Yeah. Yeah, you got the Bruins twice over the weekend again. Mm. And you know, we just survived through Philly, going back to Philly starting tomorrow. And then, of course, next Tuesday we'll have a post game for Sabres. And, you know, the Sabres, you know, they have given it to us earlier this season in Buffalo. Now,
yes.
I don't see, the last time, it was 2 weeks ago when I said, okay, what are the Rangers going to do as far as by the time we speak next week, you know, expect 4 points out of the games where we had one cancellation or one postponement of a game.
Right.
Without Panarin, this makes it a lot harder because, I mean, this is the type of team. Okay, I said it like this in the beginning of the season. I don't want to go backtrack what I said. I said when we drafted Lafreniere, I thought we had the depth to at least sustain injuries. But if a guy like Panarin gets hurt or is missing from the team, all bets is off. It makes it a lot harder. Without having Panarin, I think we all watch Rangers games, makes it a lot harder to win games. Forget win games, win shifts. Let's talk about that.
Yeah.
Win shifts.
Oh, I agree.
Controlling the game, being the threat on the offensive side of the ice. Without him, it makes it exponentially harder. You could take probably Kreider off because he's had his ons and offs. You could take Zibanejad off. It makes it harder. But Panera is the one guy offensively, as we already know, RP, even in a bad season, he's been productive. Didn't see this coming last week.
There is no doubt about it. The best player whenever he's on the ice and on the bench for the Rangers. Consistent, makes everybody around him better, relaxes everybody. I mean, these are all things that, we've been reading the last couple of days that you've already known about him, but it is a massive undertaking to go against the Flyers and two against the Bruins without their point leader and best player on the ice. And if there is ever a time, and we say this many times, Steve, but if there's ever a time that everybody needs to step up, this is the time. With that, the Rangers have really stepped up with all the adversity that they've had over the season. Lack of goal scoring, lack of strong goaltending early, the Anthony DeAngelo situation, injuries, Filippito, Jacob Trouba's out now. They have overcome a lot. Players like Blackwell and Rooney have just, I think, exploded onto it. Like, these aren't players you really heard a lot about. Vitetto on defense. Mm-hmm. Sometimes, and it's a tough thing, but sometimes these teams make make the team bond and come together stronger, and it's us against the world attitude. And we kind of thought we had all of that done with the DeAngelo fiasco, but here we are again, and these guys are going to have to step up. Kreider's going to have to start scoring more. Buchnevich has to come out of his shell. And I don't know if that empty net goal or not will help Zibanejad. He was playing well. They did reduce his time a little bit, which I thought was important and necessary, because when your best players aren't playing, sometimes the best thing to do is take that heat off their shoulders, relieve that pressure and see what happens. But you are right. This is like a wow moment. I mean, no one saw it coming. It came out of left field. And now you got to try to regroup. David Quinn said all the right things yesterday, I thought. The players all did. Even today, Brendan Smith was saying, they seem very loose and relaxed practicing. And Smith said, we're professionals, and you have to overcome many different kinds of adversity. And this is where they're at now, and they're just going to take the best step forward. And you have to keep going on. The season's going to go on. If Cameron's out 3 games, 8 games, comes back after 1 game, you have to play your game. So I'm looking forward to see how they come out tomorrow.
Yeah, we are. We're going to bring on Scott and get his thoughts on this. But let me say this, because I had it actually already lined up. I thought Colin Blackwell, Anthony Bitato, and Kevin Rooney, those three guys, I had it written down, RP, that I thought they had excellent play, especially in the Philadelphia game.
Absolutely.
I think Blackwell has, he has this spark about him, man. He's always at the right place at the right time, making the right play.
Mm-hmm.
Rooney, we could talk about his face-offs, but his scrapping and his hustle has been fantastic. Vieto is almost the same, man. He's skated well, man. Those three in particular, and then you add in Ryan Lindgren and Brandon Lemieux defensively in the Philly game was fantastic. That's what I saw out of that, in winning that. And then we got to give credit to Ryan Strome. I thought he did an excellent job winning the majority of his face-offs. And then going back to your point about Zibanejad, hopefully it gets him going. That's the thing I've seen out of the two games. You saw a tale of two Zibanejad. Zibanejad in the Philly game, defensively, I thought was fantastic. And then the game in Washington, he may not have, had an even strength goal. He may not have had a power play goal or anything like that. But I thought, him being aggressive, but also he was winning the majority of his faceoffs. I thought you got two versions of Zibanejad. He just had to put it together all in one game, but the fact that defensively he's kind of done his job. And I think I don't want to let Ranger fans lose track of that. I know he doesn't – they don't look – I know Ranger fans don't look at Zibanejad, oh, he's got to be, you know, scoring 30, 35 goals. Well, of course he does, but defensively, let's not lose track of that. He's done his job defensively. I think he's been underrated with that, honestly, especially PK situations, stuff like that. Hey, Scott, what's up, man? We're going to the Ring Podcast with Ranger Proud, right? Yeah. What was your thoughts on Panarin, man? Like, I said the RP. I have literally, like, no opinion on this because I wasn't there. Can't vouch for it. If I didn't see it, I have no opinion on it. But more so, what about the effects of how this can affect the Rangers team? What's your thoughts when you heard when this thing was leaked, and how, you know, what's your thoughts on this altogether? What's up, Scott? How you doing?
Hey, good evening, gentlemen. Sorry to be late. But what a difference a week makes. You know, last week we were sitting here crying and fuming, and now two decent quality wins over two very good teams, and here we are. The Panarin thing, I mean, nobody really knows, but, you know, all signs are pointing to this being an absolute farce and a political joke. You know, Panarin's been historically anti-Putin, and this KHL guy, in addition to supposedly being a mental patient, is like a Putin cheerleader, as it was explained. So, you know, apparently this is just payback. Supposedly somebody who already tried to reach out to the hotel that this supposedly happened. The hotel said, you know, absolutely not. We have no idea what you're talking about. So this thing appears to be just, you know, politics, really. And I just hope that, I know Panarin's got his family, or parents, grandparents, something like that. You know, not his immediate family, but, you know, he's got relatives there. And hopefully this league of absence is trying desperately to get them the hell out of there. Because, I mean, this is scary, you know, if this, you know, we know who this guy is. You know, this is a scary situation. You know, we know who this guy is. We know what he's capable of. You know, hopefully he's working right now I'm sure he's got the U.S. State Department involved. Hopefully he's trying to get his family out of there and to safety, because, I mean, I don't know of anybody, even, you know, Islanders and Devils fans that are, you know, the actual intelligent ones that I've spoken to didn't believe this for a second. So, you know, top priority, you know, his own and family's safety, and then hopefully this gets resolved quickly and back in the lineup. Anybody not concur with, just, you know, agreeing that's what it is with this thing, you think?
Oh, I think so too. You know, it's funny because ESPN last night, I forgot the name of the reporter because I saw it on Twitter early this morning, stated it's not like he's going back to Russia. He just felt that he needed the leave of absence to get his affairs in order. And I guess it's from a legal side, a slander side. His family, there's a lot going on. And, you know, you got to give Panarin a little bit of credit to recognize that he couldn't focus on hockey right now. And fans may not see it that way, but taking himself out of the lineup and away from the team a little bit is a team. It was for the team. He didn't want to be a distraction to the team. And he knew he wouldn't be 100% playing and focused right now. So I give him credit for that. It had to be a hard decision. This guy loves to play hockey. He loves to play in New York. So for him to say, I got to step away, it shows you his dedication to the team. It also shows you the pressure that's on him. I also think, though, he knew something was going to happen when he made the comment last month. I don't think you would make a comment like that without expecting some sort of retribution, whatever you want to call it, towards what he said. To the extent of what they're saying is another story within itself, but like you said, it's not anything proven. Everything's sort of shooting down all the stories going around. So I was surprised and happy that the Rangers came out with such a quick statement supporting him. If you guys all remember when K. Andre Miller last summer had that Zoom report and had those really unkind words said about them, the Rangers were one of the last teams to come out and support him and the racism and all of that. So it was good to see the Rangers stepped up here and back them, which kind of shows that they have all their ducks in a row too, and hopefully they can put this all behind them.
Yeah, no, absolutely, absolutely, and I like what you said that you know, he's actually, you know, it sucks the timing because they are starting to roll, hopefully, mm-hmm. but you know, like you said, you know, it is thinking about the team to, because he is a distraction now, unfortunately, and you know, thinking about the team by getting, removing himself from that, and also, you know, we're all big Ranger fans, we're all big sports fans, but. You know, these guys are human beings just like everybody else, and you know, family and humanity first. And you know, if there is a serious threat to his family, and of course we'll never know the extent of that, we can just hope that, you know, in a day or so we read about you know, his grandparents walking off a plane at JFK, and that's the end of it, hopefully. You know, and just hopefully just want everybody safe and out of the situation, and for it to resolve itself peacefully, and then he can get his mind back, you know, where it belongs, you know, back on the ice. But, yeah, I think he and the team are handling it as best, about as well as can be expected.
It's funny, Scott, because Quinn said the same thing you did, that at the end of the day, they're people first and hockey players second. So he was showing support right off the bat, and Quinn has said that previously with other situations. But if you guys think about it, it always seems there's something trying to knock the Rangers down. Filippito starts to play really good. He gets hurt. Kako really starts to be coming out of his shell and being the player that we were looking for, and he's on the COVID list. And now Panarin, who's always playing well, he's got to leave. So it's the Rangers are battling the hockey gods right now, which is normal, I guess. But
when are they?
one after the other, after the other, after the other. It is a hard thing, you know. There's a reason why players are the top six and the bottom six based on skill and all of that. You have three guys out of the lineup right now that are all top six forwards. Even though Hedo was centering the third line, he was moving up and down. He was playing extremely well when he got hurt. Some of these things are just hard to overcome at a point. How many times can the Rangers get lucky? You put, you know, Bitetto in the lineup, and he's playing better than Jack Johnson. They bring Oliver Hayek into the lineup, and he's playing well when D'Angelo went out. There's so much going on. It's like you go to yourself, well, eventually you're not going to be able to get up as quick or as easy as you can when all your stars are in a lineup. So it's going to be a tough battle here for a while with all three of those guys out.
Yep.
Yeah, definitely. I echo your sentiments, man, that the fact that let the actions play its course. RP and you are pretty much in agreement as far as, you know, it probably is a political stunt per se. Let's get to Leak's thoughts, because, you know, Ultra Knight, welcome back, dude. I hope it's all is well with you, and get your opinion on this Panarin situation. I'm totally out of it. When I say I don't have zero, I have no opinion whatsoever, that's where I stand until I actually hear the facts. But Talik, what's up, man? Ultra Knight, what's up? Scott, RP, great podcast with Ranger Pride. What's your thoughts on this Panarin situation, man?
What's up, boys? How are you? Long time no talk. It's good to finally hear your voices again. How are you, boys?
How's it going?
Pretty good, man.
Scotty, what's up, man? How are you?
Hey, pal. How you doing?
Good. So I got a little bit of a different perspective in this research in regards to got a little accuser here, Andrei Nazarov, the coach that brought this all to the forefront and accused Artemi Panarin of almost 11 years ago. So this guy's got some documented medical mental health issues, unfortunately. So as everything stands today, as we're considering the source of these highly wild lies and unhinged behavior for this former NHL barbarian, can I say, and this the current KHL coach that he is today. So there, honestly, there's absolutely no corroborating the testimony at all. There's absolute denials from Panarin's former teammates, major inconsistencies in timings in the travel schedules and the place where it takes as well. I mean, this guy is changing his stories. First there was a rape attempt, now there is no rape attempt. So it's kind of like hard to believe to his story. So this guy, Andre Nazarov is his name, supposedly accusing Panarin of attacking this girl when Panarin wasn't even nowhere near of a superstar that he is today. So as openly as some of our athletes in some of these sports of being political, I believe that politics does not bears no place at all in any sport, nonetheless in hockey. But unfortunately, some of our players are deeply involved, as D'Angelo was, as Panarin sometimes out speaks about this. The great eight Ovechkin is very he is a supporter of Putin as opposed to Panarin. So as much as we like to think that all of this is untrue, and believe me, it is, I just think that the individual that started this whole nonsense, this is the guy that needs to be questioned first, Andre Nazarov.
What do you think of the motive is behind it? Is it political? What is the you had some great
it
points.
Why
would he do that?
It is 100% political. I mean, when you outspeak in the media and about Vladimir Putin, someone will come at you. Look at what's going on to the political world in my former country in Russia. To great politician, look what Putin can do. So Nazarov is an absolute outspoken supporter of Trump. I read some Russian articles on Twitter. I had the opportunity just to quickly to text some DMs with Twitter to my uncle about it. Is an absolute fierce world what's going on there. It kind of reminds my uncle of the communist days. Like, God forbid you speak about a former Russian president or a politician, something's going to happen. Someone's going to come knocking at your door. So that's what he feels like what's going on there now, which hasn't happened since the early 90s. I think it's just a guy that's totally mental and insane. And he's heard him back in Navalny. And I think either it's a corroboration with somebody or he did it on his own. But to do something like this to an athlete and nonetheless his family, I mean, that's just sad. And to tell you the truth, this is very dangerous. And I feel for Temi right now, for the fear of his family. And it's a no joking matter, but that's what's going on. It's 100% a political scandal, 100%.
Now, what about your thoughts as far as, okay, the team rallying behind Panarin, the Rangers, like Scott mentioned and RP mentioned, the Rangers started to play well over the weekend, started Thursday versus the Flyers and then the Capitals. You started to put things a little bit together. How do you think this goes, the next couple of games versus the Flyers and then the Bruins, and then we go back to Scott and get his thoughts on that and RP?
Well, taking from a personal perspective, I played a little hockey myself, and I know when a teammate goes through a struggle and the rest of the guys know and he's out, maybe death in the family or a personal issue or something's going on, that goes on the bench with your teammates. That morale comes on the bench. It's a heavy weight. When one of your guys, it's like a family member, it's your brother, he's out, it's on everybody's mind, it's on everybody's thought. So, I mean, you would hope everything goes well. Hockey is such an unpredictable sport nowadays. One of your best superstars can go missing, injured, and the team does well. We've seen it happen multiple times. Steven Stamkos out for half the season, and the team flourishes. So you never know, but I could tell you that the weight and the thought of what's going on with one of your brothers out there, it's a pretty heavy weight to take on, especially on a bench, on a professional level. So I hope they can, ride it out. But I don't see them doing very well, considering one of their best players are out, the playmaker. This guy doesn't even have to score goals. The last couple of games, he's just been putting the puck on another player's tape and, you know, getting the goals. So your best guy's out. I don't see them doing very well. Obviously, as a diehard Ranger fan, you hope they do. I tell you, the morale is tarnished. It's a heavy weight to carry as a team. So, and I know that they stand behind him, and I thank God, because I mean this isn't a light accusation. You know, it's a battery or assault on a female. But you know, I'm glad that the New York Rangers organization and their fans stand 100% behind him before even knowing the true outcome. So everybody kind of believes that it's untrue, but it's really cool to see the Rangers organization come out with a statement that early and the fans jumping on board to get Panarin's back.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Scott, any additional thoughts you heard from Talik? And any thoughts you want to throw at him or questions or comments or RP after that?
Yeah. To piggyback on that, you know, we saw what happened when Panarin went down, and, you know, he was only out, what, a week or so, day-to-day, you know, missed a few games. This team was dead.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that was an injury. You know, it's a different story. Nobody stepped up. You know, we destroyed Kreider for it. We destroyed Buchnevich. You know, the guys that are supposed to step up, at least, you know, try and rally this team. You know, that was an injury. You know, so be it. But this team, like we talked about, this team is not ready yet, but we have the core in place. So these guys, for the most part, that are on this team are, you know, for the most part, are the wave of the future and the hopefully very near future. So, you know, this is not an injury. This is a different story, and we're going to see what this team is made of. And, you know, they need to rally behind what's going on. They need to show some support. And you know, like Tolik said, they could very well be demoralized. They are demoralized. But the question is, when they hit the ice, how are they going to respond? They need to step up, and, you know, we're getting tired of saying it, you know, pointing out to the same guys, but these guys need to say, you know, we're seeing it from the younger guys. We're not seeing it from the vets. You know, when a guy like Panarin's out for now, this kind of reason, which is demoralizing to the entire team, the franchise, the fan base, he's in jeopardy, his family's in jeopardy. You know, this team needs to step up and show some heart, and this is on Quinn, this is on Kreider, this is on everyone. And when you've got guys like, you know, like Blackwell and Lemieux, like when your younger fourth line guys are the only ones that get a fire under them for something like this, like that's a problem. And, you know, we're really going to see if Quinn is the coach for this team the next time they hit the ice. You know, we're going to see, you know, everybody's torn on Kreider. Obviously, I've been one of the most critical guys, you know, on him and his leadership and his lack of stepping up and being a captain, whether it's an A or a C, whatever. We're going to see tomorrow night, you know, whether Quinn and Kreider, or just the team as a whole, is ready to move on to the next step. You know, they don't have to, you know, obviously, just points-wise and like Tolik said, playmaking-wise, you know, it's a huge, huge hit. But these guys need to come out, and I use this term a lot, but they need to come out with their asses on fire and show, you know, show support for this guy by, you know, the guys that are still there and are still playing and representing this team in his absence, you know, show that we've got your back by coming out with a ton of heart, and hopefully they can do it. You know, maybe they'll surprise us. You know, from what we've seen, I'm not optimistic, but we'll see. Because, I don't think Quinn is the guy for that. He's just not shown motivation for this team. And, you know, this is his big test. He is officially on the clock. I've used that term a lot, too. You know, the veterans and Quinn need to show that they deserve to be here and they deserve to be part of, when this team returns to a contender, that they deserve to be part of that. Their test is tomorrow night.
Such a good point, right, Scott. Such a great point that the team really does need to. This is a real test now for the especially the young guys to step up, especially in a difficult time of this matter. What a good point, man. I mean, this is gonna really prove it, make it or break it kind of situation. And you got to remember that this upcoming game Wednesday, also, there's going to be some fans in attendance. There's going to be 2,000 fans. So this this could be something pretty cool to watch, I gotta say.
Yeah, definitely. RP, what's your thoughts, dude?
Well, I'm not as optimistic just based on Quinn's comments today, and I'm pretty much a Quinn supporter. I really am, other than its frequency of changing lines too fast. But and I'm looking for the quote, but I couldn't find it exactly. So in a nutshell, what he said was he was thinking of keeping Strome centering Kreider. He was thinking of keeping Strome centering Kreider and Vucinovic when the game starts tomorrow. But then in practice today, he had Kreider playing with Blackwell. He was thinking of keeping Blackwell playing with Lafreniere and Vucinovic, and then he put Mika with Lafreniere and Vucinovic. It's kind of weird going into this game tomorrow, knowing everything we know today, that he doesn't really know what he wants to do with his lines. I find that sad. I guess is the best way to describe it. He's behind the bench and his voice has to be heard. And even though he's not on the ice, he has to be leading his team. And for him to tell fans early today, this isn't 100%, and don't be surprised if I change lines up right away, makes me wonder what's going on. I don't understand how he doesn't have a game plan for that. You know, you look at his power play lines in practice were a little weird for me to read, too, that he had Fox and Zibanejad with Blackwell, Strome, and Kreider. And then he had Miller with Biketto, with Lafreniere, Vucinovic, and Lemieux. Now, I like Lemieux, and I think he's great when he stands in front of the net. But it's kind of weird how he's not 100% sure what he wants to do. It makes it really hard to go into a game if you're not comfortable as the head coach with the lines you're putting out there to start. And then to him say, I'm probably going to change it up, so don't be surprised. Well, now he's starting to talk to the fan base, which he shouldn't really be concerned about. So with all of that, I kind of question what's going on behind the bench now. It's just a little undermining to my surprise. Even if that's how he felt, why would you come out and say it? Just don't coach based on what the fans are saying or what you're reading. Put your lines out there, and then if you don't like them, all right, we're going to change them up. But by him addressing it that way, shows me maybe his focus is off right now. I don't know why, and maybe I'm overreacting everything that we're reading today, and there's been a lot of it. So I think with that aspect, we have to, you know, of course, wait and see what's going on. On the flip side, another story that kind of got lost after all the Panarin thing was the Kapokako situation. And I wrote about this earlier today for Empire Sports. He doesn't know when Kapokako can return. Now, he's on the NHL protocol list. And normally, there's a whole bunch of criteria why you would be on that list. Two of them are if you've been around someone who's been exposed or if you have it. By him being still on the list, which is probably 5 or 6 days now, and him not knowing when he's coming back, along with his diabetic situation and a celiac disease, led me to believe that maybe he does have it. And we'll never know because the agreement is they're not going to say if a player indeed does have COVID or not. But to me, that's a bigger concern right now than the Panarin thing to an extent, because here's a guy who's really stepping up, really playing well, and this could really beat him up if he does indeed have it. So there's a lot going on within the team, a lot of adversity, which is another story I wrote for Forever Blue Shirts, that they're going to have to keep trying to overcome. But if your coach is unsure of himself and what he's putting on the ice, it's kind of hard to expect a lot from the guys, you know? So I'm curious to see how they respond to that on top of everything else. It really does put Quinn in the hot seat if he's not sure of line combos and all. I mean, that's why you're practicing. That's why you're talking with your assistant coaches and so forth. So to me, it was troubling to hear that.
Let me ask you a question, RP, and then go back to Talik and Scott. Same questions for them. As far as making up for Panarin, and we talked about when he was injured for like that more than a half a week, and the line combinations did not get through. Then now, totally different kind of guys now. I think, you know, we started to hit our stride. But let me ask you this, RP, and we go to Talik and then Scott. Do you think having – normally the Rangers are playing on every other day or every day – or, you know, night-to-night basis or every other night. But having that extra day, you think – do you think that it buys them time to get ready for the game Wednesday and then the two games versus the Bruins as far as all the news that broke out and on top of what you said about Capo? You think that actually helps the Rangers instead of throwing us into the fire? Let's say if we were to play tonight, you know, on a Tuesday – coming off the game Saturday. You know what I'm saying? The extra time helps the Rangers because of what's all these moving pieces. What's your thoughts on that? And then get to Talik and Scott on that.
Obviously, you're not going to replace Panarin in any capacity. You just have to try to move forward without him. You would thought that the extra couple of days here that they have going tomorrow would have helped them, but that's not the impression I got from Quinn when he spoke today. So I think the players are probably more prepared, or at least that's how it sounded. Look, when these guys step onto the ice, yes, they're professionals and all of that. There's nothing more they want to do than win. When the team is fully intact or when it's second and third line players, whatever it may be, everyone has the same condensed schedule. Everyone's playing every other night, 4 and 7 games, all of that, you know, with the exception of cancellations because of COVID and what you may have. So I don't know how much more that extra day off would help. Sometimes you want to just get on the ice and stop talking about the story. So it can go both ways, mm-hmm. Steve. There's no right or wrong with that. I don't think in normal circumstances I would have got the extra day. I might have helped them get their game plan together. But after reading the quotes today and just seeing how much it's hurting the Rangers not to have Panarin around, I think it would have been better if they would have played tonight. Not that that was a choice. But I don't think one way or another it's going to make a break. It comes down to the coach, guys. It really does. And I know he's not on the ice, and people always say that. But he's the one dictating everything. Line combination, team attitude, the team showing confidence to your players that whoever I put on the ice, I'm confident they're going to do it. Instead, he's saying, well, I'm not sure how I'm going to keep my line. Don't be surprised if I change them right away. If he's lacking confidence, doesn't that transfer down to your team? Especially that you don't have a captain. Yes, I know guys have the A's and this and that, but you don't have that one guy, you know, when you put a C on that guy's chest, he normally will really step up and try to bring them all together in a different way than if you're wearing an A or an alternate or reading by committee kind of deal. So I'm a little apprehensive that the team is in the right mind frame right now.
Right. Hey, Tilly, what's your thoughts as far as the extra time the Rangers had off since over the weekend versus the Capitals? You know, the story, you know, the injury situation and things coming up with the Panarin story. And one thing we did not mention, and we've kind of had our doubt, I would say doubts, but our curiosity was the goaltending. And the goaltending has been pretty good in the last couple of games, especially Shesterkin versus the Capitals. I don't even – RPI, who is actually starting in that? Shesterkin versus the Flyers?
Tomorrow night.
What about the goalies who were, you know, starting to put it together, you know? Tilly, what's your thoughts as far as the extra time, and does this help or hurt the Rangers because of the situation going on, and Scott after that?
They've had plenty of time right now, and none of this – any of the situation is helping the Rangers, and that's obvious. I mean, the Kako's out, Panarin's out, and yes, I do blame Quinn for a lot of the inconsistencies about lines, but when some of your players are out, it's tough to get a good, firm pairing and chemistry lines out there. I think, yes, he should absolutely try to get the best guys and just move up throughout the season without changes. But you guys, when you guys got a lot of guys floating in and out, it's very hard to get a firm grip on reality of what's going to happen. I mean, you have to remember, a lot of these guys – are still kids on our team. They're kids. They're not going to play up to their full capacity and potential. And RP, you really beat me to it, man, with the captains. I think a coach's best friend in the locker room, on the ice, in practice, is a captain, is the guy that's wearing the C. I think we don't have a firm leader on our team. We don't have. And there's mm-hmm. a reason behind this, because there probably really isn't. The C yep. wasn't given out is because no one's outspoken. No one can affirm themselves in the locker room or on practice for that guy. I mean, we watched Messi standing on the bench, whether he liked the coach or not, standing on his elbow on the bench, talking to whether it would be Keenan or Colin Campbell, whoever it was. They used to talk to one another in practice and figure out what's the best form to bring on the ice for every single game. We just haven't had that guy. Not Mika, not Kreider. There's nobody in the locker room that's really ready to lead a team. And there's a reason why that C is worn. A leader has to be on the ice and in the locker room. They have to speak to their guys. They have to lead. Every team needs a leader, and we just haven't had that. And the whole thing with the goaltenders, what's going on, it's not just with the Rangers. You see it with a lot of teams now. I mean, there really isn't, you know, like back in the day, there was a firm starter, right? There would be your Mike Richter to your Glenn Healy. There would be a Brodeur to whatever the back. There would be a firm goalie that would just lead their team and take majority of the games throughout the season. You don't see that anymore. You see two goalies, and they split the season. I personally think you should have one goaltender play the majority of the games, and when he needs the rest, he rests. That's why you call him the backup goaltender. Yeah. The whole thing that's going on with Shestorkin, this is the guy. They need to pick one guy. They need to pick a guy to play majority of the games to lead that team as their goalie to look up to. We don't have that either, unfortunately, now with Gheorghe and Igor splitting the season. So I think I don't have my hopes up for the season. This whole rebuild thing is, in my mind, it's going to take some time. It's going to take a year or two or three before they can get their shit back together, you know? Picking a captain, getting a goalie together, getting the right coaching strategies. They got some time ahead of them. We're nowhere close. Nowhere.
All right. Scott, any additional thoughts, sir?
Yeah, getting back to Quinn, it seems, you know, even a lot of people are losing faith in his ability to lead. My problem with him, before these injuries even happened, you know, he's got his top six and his bottom six, and he's so afraid to cross that. Like, that's such a firm line of the top six stays in the top six, and all he was doing was just reshuffling the top six, reshuffling the bottom six, and just hoping something sticks. And I don't remember who said it. Maybe it was Tolik, maybe it was the guy before, who said, like, he doesn't have a plan. It's evident that he doesn't have a plan, and I think he's literally just putting – just shuffling the top six and bottom six around and hoping something sticks, and it's not happening. And I think as bad as this situation is right now without Panarin, Kako, and Hedl, it's actually a glorious opportunity for him because he's got two top sixers in Hedl and Panarin, let alone the number one guy out, and Kako, who's really making a push. You know, obviously we knew that he'd be in the top six eventually. He's really making a push for that now. So you got those three guys out. Quinn's got an opportunity here to really do whatever he wants. You know, do something drastic. You know, put a fourth line guy on the first line. And see if that works. You know, if nothing else, it should be a wake up call for whoever was on the first line. You know, he's got an opportunity here. You know, to not look at it like a top six and a bottom six. Look at it as he's got 12 cards to play with. With three huge guys being out of the lineup, he can put any combination he wants together. Why not just take it to really roll the dice and see what sticks? You got a guy like Blackwell who's playing like he's, you know, he wants to be on the first line. So put him on the first line. Why not? What do you got to lose? But like him and him, Strom, and Lemieux on the first line. Give him a chance. You know, it should definitely be a wake up call to guys like Buchnevich and Kreider. You know, put them on the third line, fourth line. You know, give these bottom six guys, the ones that they, you know, like we said last week, when the bottom six is out playing the top six, that's a problem. You know, reward these guys. You know, I think we, you know, I'm seeing shades of AV here. AV's biggest, my biggest complaint about him was that, in addition to the no toughness, you know, he was also afraid to really penalize top six guys like this. And that was my biggest complaint about him. You know, as much as I think Tortorella was over the top with that, you know, he had no problem demoting or benching the guy no matter how much he made. And that's one of the things I respected about him. And in our last two coaches, we haven't had that. And I think with these guys out of the lineup, Quinn, you know, show some balls. You know, put a fourth line guy on the first line. Give him an opportunity. These guys are in the bottom six are playing their hearts out, and they're the only ones that are playing their hearts out. So give them the opportunity, and hopefully it would be a big wake-up call. I cannot stress enough that Kreider needs time on the third or fourth line to get it through his head. Like, dude, your work ethic sucks. You know, you're the most seasoned veteran on this team. Start acting like it. You want that contract. You want that C. You want that A. Act like it. And now, like, we, you know, that combined with the Panarin situation and how they need to react tomorrow night, give these bottom line guys some top line time while they, you know, while the regular top liners are out of the lineup anyway. I think Quinn really needs to show some balls and take some chances. And just reshuffling top six guys and hoping something sticks, it's not going to work. When you got guys like Kreider that show up once every three games, when you got like Buchnevich who scores a goal and then misses the next nine open nets, you know, these guys need to be demoted until they get it through their heads. So that's what I got there.
I see Blackwell at least getting into the top six guy. I see that. I mean, because of effort and plus you want to see productivity. He's shown it every time. He flashes on your screen as far as, like, there goes an effort, there goes a goal there, a good check, you know hits here and there. He's done his job, and I think we all can say that. RP, anything else you'd like to add before we go around for final thoughts from Talia, Ultra Knight, and Biscotti, and so on and so forth?
No, I just kind of go back to what we were talking about last week, how a coach needs to make his players successful wherever you put them. And never mind he's have players looking over his shoulders, but he has his goaltenders looking over his shoulders because, just like we were saying earlier, Chesterkin should be leading the team, playing the majority of the game. But he knows if he has a bad game here and there, they're going to put Gorgiev in. And sometimes for a goaltender, it's all about not so much the confidence in himself, but it's the confidence that the coach is going to keep playing you. I mean, we were blessed to see Lundqvist play it all these years, and even when he had bad games, he knew he was going back in the next day and he could correcting it, bettering, and get the team back winning. Here, and a lot of it does have to do because of the condensed schedule, he's rotating a little bit too much. It's hard to get on a winning streak or get good, consistent hockey when the lines keep getting reshuffled. But when they're getting reshuffled, it's like we were saying, it's still the top two lines are just rotating in and out, and the bottom two lines are rotating in and out. That's not how it's supposed to be. It's supposed to be, in the last 5 minutes of a one-goal game, you want the best five guys on the ice, rotating in and out constantly. He's just changing lines and keeping them going, and I feel like the team can't get that rhythm. I feel Quinn is still coaching this team like a college hockey team. He was born here to help develop the young guys, but he needs to coach better than he did when he was with Boston. He needs to coach a different way than he was with Boston, and we're not seeing that, and that's a ripple effect all the way down through the whole team.
Yeah, we're going to get some final thoughts. And I look at a guy like Lafreniere who got that goal in the game versus the Capitals, who was fed that beautiful pass from the corner from Panarin. Missing that aspect, you know, your point leader on the team versus the guy we all want to see get going, your number one overall draft pick. I hope he doesn't feel like he needs to be pressured that the number two overall draft pick in the draft prior to that is out. I don't want the kid to feel like he's being present. He has to put it all on his shoulders because when things like that happen and things don't go well, it could kill your confidence young and early. And we still have to develop our players, as we said, and like you all alluded to. But as far as Filip Hedl, I know Quinn had a quote yesterday as far as we're hoping to get him back sooner than later and him coming off the COVID protocol, over the weekend. So, you know, we have a lot of musical skates. You know, we call it musical chairs, but musical skates with this. But, Talik, your final thoughts on this episode. Give us your final thoughts. We're heading into the couple of games versus the Bruins, the Flyers. We got a post game next Tuesday versus the Sabres. Anything you got going on with Ultra Knight, man, doing a fantastic job, man. Thank you for coming on and sharing all the information about that last time. Any updates with you guys on that? And then, Scott, your final thoughts. And, of course, Ranger Proud.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, honestly, to get down right to the point on a final thought, we need to start shopping around or looking somewhere else for a leader, for not just as a coach, but as a big personality, as an outspoken individual on the team. We need a captain. We need somebody for these young kids to start looking up to and start talking to. Someone that's smart, someone that's, like, again, outspoken. We need a true leader. We need an individual that can take us to the Stanley Cup Finals again. And that comes from just one guy as a captain. We need to get back into that Mark Messier mentality. So I think that's what it's going to take. We need to get a starting goaltender, whomever it may be. I think Shesterkin can do it if he gets that confidence in and plays, I don't know, 5-6 games back-to-back. I think that can improve our goaltending, and that'll improve our defense as well. And if it's not Shesterkin, we got to find somebody else. In terms of Ultra, yeah, we're still working. We're doing wonderful things. We partnered up with the Hockey Foundation. We took in 10 pallets of secondhand and brand new children's hockey equipment that was donated to us. We are now the largest distributor for donated hockey equipment in the Northeast region. We are looking for facilities and families that are in need of children's hockey equipment. We're looking for monetary funds to help us with the distribution of this equipment as families are coming back to work now and children are going back to their hockey programs. Like I said, we've partnered up with Adam Waves. We're in the process of partnering up with Mark Messier and his the Bronx Kingsbridge Ice Facility that's opening up in 2022. So that's going to be absolutely huge. And we're in the talks now with the Gardens of Dreams Foundation for Madison Square Garden and partnering up with them and assisting the Junior Rangers organization in Madison Square Garden once the fans are going to start coming back into attendance here. And I'll actually be at the Sunday's game, and I'll be able to tell you guys how it feels to be back at home at a church. So that'll be really cool.
You there, Steve?
Yeah, I don't think
he's
there, man.
I'm so sorry.
You on mute again?
I'm gonna say who's up.
I couldn't hear me for shit.
No worries.
Yeah, I was just saying, thank you very much for the information and the update and all everything you've been doing. And fantastic work, and on Facebook, I'm gonna make sure we all get to share that with definitely Ranger fans across the world, man, and hockey fans too, in the hockey groups as well, man. And Scott. Your final
yeah, let
thoughts,
me just
man.
Let me just remind you. Let me just remind you guys how to contact
sure.
us. And I'm sorry I didn't mention that we are the Ultra Knights nonprofit organization. You could reach us at ALTRUNITE.com. And everybody knows we're across all social media platforms. So feel free to reach out to Steve here and RP, or straight out to Ultra Knight, and we'll be able to help any family or your local hockey rink with some children's hockey equipment.
That's great.
Amen.
It's really good
Shout
news.
Out. And thank you, man.
And
Scott, your final thoughts, man.
Yeah. Well, first of all, just before I forget, Tolik, I would like a new Brendan Lemieux mask because the first one, it just says BL48, and nobody knows what that means. I don't even know what that means. So I would like a new Lemieux mask.
I will gladly provide you a Brendan Lemieux jersey mask. How's that? It's my gift to you, sir.
You are the best. Thank you. And now I got to argue your last point about the, well, 2 points ago about the goalie situation. I don't mind that they're splitting time. You know, we're in uncharted waters here with this year. You know, guys get in grooves, they get hot. You know, a lot of that has to do with the crowd noise. You know, I have no doubt we'd be hearing Igor after every big save, just like, you know, Lundqvist and everybody before him. And the league is always changing. You know, the dynamic of the league is always changing. It's funny, I was watching some 94 highlights on YouTube the other day, and I was talking to my buddy on the phone. He's about 10 years younger than me. He's a Carolina fan. He's legit. He's actually in North Carolina. And, you know, mm-hmm. he was watching somebody's highlights, and you know, just the difference in the game back then, you know, the smaller pads, you didn't have the shot blocking, you know, it's how a goalie ever got a shutout before like the year 2000, I'll never understand, you know, because everything went through. It was just a different game. So everything's always changing.
Yeah.
And I mean, I don't know how old everybody is here, but I'm old enough to remember when John Van Beesbrough played all the games at home and Bob Froese played all the road games. And then after that, Beezer and Richter pretty much split time before Richter took over. But, you know, so I don't mind them splitting time in this particular year where nobody can really get in a groove. And I don't want to see, you know, I think it's – nobody's really doubting that Igor is the number one guy and he's going to be, you know, the future of this team. And but if it's not right now, so be it, if they're going to split time. Because I don't want to see what happened to him, what happened to Lundqvist happen to him. And that Lundqvist was let down by this team so many times, 2012, 2014, 2015. You know, the guy playing the game of his life, game after game after game, and they just couldn't get that goal when they needed it, whatever round it was in. And, you know, he got frustrated. I'm sure he was plenty frustrated because he's such a competitor. And I don't want to see that happen to Igor, and especially now in a year when we know that they more often than not will not get that big goal, and you know he'll stop 39 out of 41 shots and lose 2-1 or something, and I don't want to see him get frustrated in a year where we know it's going to happen. So therefore, I don't mind that happening. You know, not them avoiding that happening to him night in, night out, and you know, let it happen to both of them, and just let it know. Because I remember last year, two years ago, when the team would do exactly that, when Lundqvist was in net, and then Georgiev would come in, and a team would score 6 goals, you know, oh, the team plays better in front of Georgiev. Like, that's stop, it's nonsense, it's just luck of the draw. And so I don't want to see that happen to one guy in particular. So in this year with, you know, guys being out for COVID, games getting canceled weeks at a time for COVID, things like that, no fans, you know, where it's just the most abnormal year you'll ever see, I don't mind splitting goalie and you know, not one guy, which will, I would assume, be Igor, you know, going off and running and taking this team, because I don't want to see that happen where he can't feed off the crowd. You know, Igor's been here. He hasn't really had that yet. He hasn't really had a full Madison Square Garden crowd. Not that it's the same Madison Square Garden crowd we grew up with, but it is what it is. And, you know, 18,000 suits, yeah, at Madison Square Garden is better than zero. So, you know, I don't mind that that they haven't picked a number one goalie and you know, had him play, you know, 4 out of every 5 games. I'm fine with that, and you know, until things start to get back to normal and until this team finds its identity. And, you know, I guess my closing thought is just to rehash what I said. We're going to find out tomorrow night what this team's identity is with this Panarin situation. You know, Quinn needs to finally show he can motivate this team and light a fire under them, and the veterans need to do that as well. And tomorrow night we'll find out if they have the ability to rally behind you know, their guy who's going through a hard time right now. You know,
that's a valid point.
RP, final thoughts.
I just think every team has to go through their bout of adversity and tribulations, and the Rangers are in the middle of a lot of it all at one time. Lack of goal scoring, injuries, superstars taking leaves. But at the end of the day, you have to win the hockey game. Everyone has their problems. Everyone has their injuries. Everyone has whatever you want to call it. If the Rangers indeed want to be a playoff team, if they want to be a top contending team, then you have to overcome all these problems that come up in a season, never mind a condensed season like we're playing this year. So, you know, tomorrow's another start, another round of can we do it? Every game is hard. Every game is big, as we said, Steve, especially in this division. There are no easy games. You just don't want to be the bottom team looking up all the time. And I think they just got to build off their last 2 games, regardless of Panarin's in the lineup or not. And the big guys got to play hockey. Zibanejad's got to step up, Kreider, Strome, the same guys we keep saying, Buchnevich, and do it. And I really like to see him give Lafreniere some time in overtime, perhaps, some more ice time because, you know, that goal he scored was a goal scorer's goal the other day. It was a great pass by Panarin, but the move to go from the forehand to the backhand as he's getting checked, not many players can pull that off. So I think he needs to start playing these guys more. You know, if they're not producing in the top six, then Lafreniere should be out there all the time. All the time. Play him as much as you can and let him try to become that leader. Even though he's young, he's a really smart hockey player. And if you guys look, when other players score, when he's on the ice, he's the first one to go over to them and high-five them and get in there and support them. This guy's going to be a great all-around hockey player and goal scorer, but it's time to take the reins off him and let him go a little bit. He's young, he's fast, he's hungry, and that's what I want to see in these next couple of games. No one's going to replace Panarin, but if anyone's going to step up, now's the time to play your best players. And you can't say Lafreniere is not the best player when you don't give him enough minutes and enough playing time. And, you know, this is it. Quinn's on the hot seat. People may not want to hear that, but it's the truth. He has to lead, like we just said, and he has to dictate. And let's just hope that he comes out a little bit stronger tomorrow night than the way he was talking to the media today. Keep following my articles on Forever Blue Shirts and Empire Sports Media. Keep following Ranger Proud on Twitter and Facebook. I appreciate it. The banter's been great, especially with all the stuff that's been going on. So I appreciate all the support. And here with Steve on the hockey podcast is awesome as always, and the Blue Blue Show. So thank you guys.
And thank you, RP, and thank you to Lee. Outro Night, shout out to Outro Night, and of course Scott, shout out to Scotty. We'll be back next Tuesday, post game versus the Sabres. So by then we'll have an idea how this thing has gone since this conversation. You could get this conversation with Talik from Outro Night and Scott and Ranger Proud on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, and iHeartRadio. Of course, you can always, you know, from the web browser of Google Chrome or Internet or Microsoft Edge, bleedblueshow.com/podcast. We'll be back next Tuesday for the hockey, man. So I'm also, ladies and gentlemen, Bleed Blue.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
Bleep bloop, bleep bloop, bleep bloop.